everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
How does a man quit the mob and live? How does a man break his blood covenant oath as a mafia boss in La Cosa Nostra and survive? And how does his marriage, his wife, and his children handle the rise and fall of one who many predicted would be the next, quote, Don of the underworld? He was on his way and fast, garnering billions of dollars, defrauding government, entertainment, sports, business, and corporate entities. If there was a way for a, quote, buck to be made, my next guest had all the angles and the brilliance to pull it off. And in white-collar America, but for how long? For the next three segments, ladies and gentlemen, and in a rare exclusive, you will hear the horrific accounts, yet in the end, the hopeful truth that no human being is ever beyond God's redeeming reach. And what a powerful reach that is. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to testimony for part one of my three-part exclusive, A Wonderful Joy Indeed, author of Blood Covenant, Quitting the Mob, and, quote, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse, motivational speaker and filmmaker of the soon-to-be-released God the Father, former mob boss and capo in the Colombo crime family, Michael Franzese. Michael, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine. Good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here, Sir Michael. I read with intense interest all 404 pages of your riveting book, from crime king to what I like to call son of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. For part one of our time together today, Michael, can you please just tell our audience how you entered your life of crime, what eventually led you out of it, and how you're even here to tell your story when most say you shouldn't be? Michael, please tell us that story.
Well, it was, I got into the life through my father, Jensine. My dad was the underboss of the Colombo family back in the 60s. And my dad was very high profile. He was always a major target of law enforcement. It was kind of like the John Gotti of his day is the best way to describe him. And you know, my dad was always under constant surveillance. I grew up, I think, a lot differently than most everybody listening now, and that I grew up hating law enforcement. I hated the government. I hated the police because I saw my dad as my hero. He was a great father, very supportive of me and my whole family, and I saw the government as the enemy at the time. And that's kind of the environment I grew up in. And I was originally going to be a doctor. My dad wanted me to be educated. He wanted me to have a profession. He wanted to keep me out of the life. And I was on my way. I was a pre-med student at Hofstra University in New York when my dad was indicted and eventually convicted in federal court of a very serious crime and was sentenced to 50 years in prison.
Wow.
When dad went off to do his time in 1970, Joe Colombo, who was the boss of our family, kind of took me under his wing. I became very close with a lot of my dad's friends, and they had an influence on me, telling me, you know, if I don't help my father out, that he was going to die in prison. So I lost interest in school. I went to visit dad in Leavenworth, and, you know, we argued about it a little bit because he didn't want that life for me, but he knew my mind was made up. I was pretty headstrong as a kid, and he told me, he said, look, if you're going to be on the street and that's the choice you're making, then I want you on the right way. In his mind, the right way was to become a member of his life. So at that point in time, he proposed me for membership into the family. And I went and visited with the boss at the time. And for those of you that probably my age and from New York, you know that Joe Colombo was shot and seriously wounded. He eventually died from the wounds. A new boss had taken over. I sat with him and He said, Mike, from now on, if this is what you want, you're on call for us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're more important than anybody and anything else in your life. For about a year and a half, I was in a pledge period where I had to do anything and everything I was told to do to prove myself worthy to become a member. And after a year and a half, it was Halloween night, 1975, that I actually took an oath and became a sworn, made member of the Colombo family. And I came into the life as a soldier, like everyone does. I assume, I guess in everybody's eyes and my boss's eyes, I proved myself out to be a good earner. I was elevated to the position of a capo de regime or captain in 1980. And I operated in that capacity from 80 until about 95. And throughout that time, I myself became a major target of law enforcement. I was indicted several times. I was acquitted just about every time they tried to get me. And I was really, you know, on the top of my game when they were when things started to turn around for me, meaning that I was earning $8 to $10 million a week from my combined operations. They were grooming me to be the boss or the underboss of the family. I had beat a number of very serious cases. So I was, you know, mob guy all the way at that point. And again, to make this kind of a very long story, you read 404 pages of it short. In 1984, I met a young woman on the set of a movie that I was producing. I had many different businesses at the time. One of them was film production and distribution. And I met her on the set of a movie. She was a young dancer in the movie, 20 years old. I fell very much in love with her. She happened to be a strong woman of faith, a young Christian. Her mother was a very strong woman of faith. And it was really through these two women that had eventually, not overnight, but eventually had a very strong impact on my life that led me to the Lord. And over a period of many, many years and many struggles and contracts on my life and everything that you could imagine, Jensine, I came to Christ and I came to where I am today to have this ministry.
Wow, and I don't want you to have to shorten it. I really want you to be able to expound in the three segments. You have an upcoming movie out October 31 called God the Father, soon to be released in theaters nationwide. And I want our listeners to get a grasp of what it's really like behind the scenes, behind the curtain of the mob. I mean, it's not the glamour. It's cracked up to be, as I understand it from reading your book. It's not The Godfather, though in some respects it is. It's not Goodfellas, though in some respect it is. You walked away from that, and you walked away alive. Now, I'm probably going to ask you this question more than once, but Michael, how did you do it, and how do you credit your being alive today when others have seen you, as the term goes, whacked a long time ago?
Well, that's true, Jensen. You know, everybody, when I walked away from the life, everybody predicted my death, from high up in law enforcement in the federal government to local level law enforcement to everybody on the street, because there's really no blueprint to walk away from that life publicly like I did and live to talk about it. As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody else that's been able to do that, and that's a fact. And you know, to make that even more understanding or giving people more of an insight to that, I told you I was made on Halloween night, 1975.
Okay, and for our listeners, Michael, excuse the interruption, tell the audience what exactly it means to be a, quote, made man. What does that entail?
Well, what it entails is you have to prove yourself. And like I said earlier, I was in a kind of a pledge period where I had to do anything and everything I was told to do to prove myself worthy to become a member. And first of all, you have to be sponsored or proposed by somebody that already is a member. And that says that, you know, this person has what it takes. They vouch for you. You can't just go up to somebody and say, hey, I'd like to join. It's not that simple. And throughout that 18-month period I was in, I, you know, honestly was told to do some things that people would find very offensive. I mean, there is violence in that life. If you're part of the life, you're part of the violence, and there's no escape. And if anybody tells you differently, they're not being honest, or they weren't a made member of that life. And, you know, there's a lot of discipline in that life, a lot of authority, a lot of structure. You just really had to toe the line and really conform to the policies of that life. And once you're prove yourself worthy, you're inducted in a very formal ceremony. And for me, it occurred midnight on Halloween night, 1975, where I was called into a room. The six of us that were there were called in individually. The boss of the family was seated at kind of a horseshoe configuration. The underboss and the consigliere, two powerful positions, were to his left and right. And then all the capo regimes or captains alongside of them. I walked down that aisle, stood in front of the boss. I held out my hand. He took a knife and cut my finger. Some blood dropped on the floor. This is a blood oath. I cupped my hands. He took a picture of a saint. It was a Catholic altar card. He put it in my hands and lit it aflame. It didn't hurt. It burned quickly. It was merely symbolic. And he said something to me that night that I honestly had never heard in my life before. And I grew up as a Catholic. You know, I went to Catholic school, and I was an altar boy the whole bit. But for some reason, for me, Catholicism was more like a subject in school than a relationship with our Lord. And right. And when he said this, it was the first time I heard it. He said, "Tonight, Michael Francis, you're born again into a new life, into La Cosa Nostra, this thing of ours. Violate what you know about this life, betray your brothers, and you'll die and burn in hell like the saint is burning in your hands." He said, "Do you accept?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And that's the formal ceremony that brings you into that life. And that's when you become a made man.
Wow.
And there's a select few, you know, in all five families in New York, and there are five families, we had about 700 to 750 made men. Men that actually took the oath and were formally inducted. There was a lot of associates and people that were around us, but the made men, there was about 750 in New York in all five families. And that's the process.
Wow. You experienced a lot of betrayal and heartbreak, gut-wrenching, yourself in prison, your family, your wife, your children. It hasn't been an easy road for you, and in our remaining moments here, are you still looking over your shoulder today?
You know, Jensine, I'm not looking over my shoulder. One thing I learned about God, if we can learn things, is that he never really throws you into the fire without preparing you for what you're going to face. And being in that life for 20 years, I was in situations where I learned that I could face death. I actually walked into a room one night when I didn't know if I was going to walk out or not, and I was scared, I was nervous, I didn't want to show it because there was this pride and macho thing at the time, and I just accepted the fact that if that was the end of my life, that was it. But I was scared. And so God showed me that I could face death if I had to, and it's an unfortunate part of that life that I saw many people that were there at one point and lost their lives. So I don't live in fear. God prepared me for what was coming, but I don't take anything for granted either.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to former mob boss Michael Francesi. His book, Blood Covenant, his soon-to-be-released movie, God the Father. We're going to hear more from Mr. Francesi next week on Testimony as he takes us behind the scenes of crime, but then his eventual leading out of it into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Michael, thank you for being with us on Testimony. We look forward to hearing more of your story next week. God bless you.
Thank you, Justine. God bless you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. He's been interviewed by every major news, television, radio, and publishing outlet in the nation. His story has not only rocked the mob family he was raised in, but special crime task forces and families all across the nation, and in particular, New York, where this Brooklyn kid made good on his father's wish for him, a capo of the Colombo crime family and a, quote, made man of the La Cosa Nostra. My next guest now tells the downside of a life of crime and why his soon-to-be-released movie, God the Father, is all about making families of a different kind and of a different father. Would you welcome back to Testimony for part two of our three-part exclusive, a wonderful honor indeed, author of Blood Covenant, Quitting the Mob, and I'll Make You an Offer You Can't Refuse, motivational speaker and filmmaker of the soon-to-be-released God the Father in theaters October 31, former mob boss and capo in the Colombo crime family, Mr. Michael Franzese. Michael, welcome back to Testimony.
Good to be back, Jensine. Thank you.
Michael, you were such a great interview. I think you did three segments in one, and you just leave the listener wanting more. So for part two of our segment today, your book, Blood Covenant, I couldn't put it down. It's a page-turner, in my view, a must-read. For this segment, Michael, I would love for you to talk about a little more how you were able to quit the mob, live to tell it, and the woman of God that would be sent into your life to help change it, and ultimately hers as well. Michael, please tell us more of your story.
Yeah, I would love to, Jensine. You know, like I said in the last segment, there really is no blueprint for somebody to walk away from that life, not enter a witness protection program, and publicly not only live out their lives, but live to talk about what's occurred in their lives. So in leaving, I can't say I had a real definite plan on how to do that. I was going to rely on what instincts I had, having had 20 years experience in that life and knowing the mentality of the guys, what they would do, what they wouldn't do. I certainly had to leave New York because I would have never survived in New York. So I left there and I moved out to the West Coast and just really changed my entire lifestyle. The things that I did at one time, I wouldn't do again. I never went into any nightclubs. I never would sit in the same restaurant, on a certain day of the week. So if people were watching me, they would know my modus operandi, so to speak. I didn't walk my dog at 7 a.m. in the morning every morning. So if somebody was, again, surveilling me, they would know my movements. So I used those instincts, and obviously it's worked. But more than that, if you understand the course that God has navigated for me over these years, Jensine, even with all that in place, so many other things had to occur to make this a break that would last and that, would allow me to stay alive. And God has made it crystal clear for me that he's had his hand in this all the way. And, it's amazing to everybody that understands this life, law enforcement, people on the street, because everybody predicted my death. Everybody from top people in law enforcement right down to people on the street, right down to my family. And, the way it's occurred, it's just been really, God has had his hand in it. And there's no other way to describe it. So it was a combination of all of these things that came together under a plan that I believe the Lord had for me from day one. And that's why I'm here today.
Amen and amen. And I want our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to former mob boss of the Colombo family, Michael Franzese. His book, Blood Covenant, and his soon-to-be-released movie, God the Father. Michael, I found your book to be very humorous in parts, with all the wheelings and dealings, yet very heartbreaking in other places. It seems betrayal goes with the territory. The mob or your, quote, family asks for unquestioned loyalty. But when it comes to returning that favor, they are gone. You are on your own, even to the point of death, if asked, at their command. Point in case, Michael. How devastating was it when even your own father, Sonny Franzese, whom you idolized as a kid for his strength, integrity, and fierce loyalty to the mob, would one day ask you to take that walk, knowing that you could be killed at the behest of family members, despite the fact that this very same family had betrayed, disempowered, and dethroned your own father while in prison, where I believe he is still today. Can you expound on this for our listeners and even your father?
Yes, Jensen, and I want to be clear on this because I don't ever want to, I don't want to be viewed as somebody being pompous and saying, well, you know, I'm a good guy and I was a victim of what occurred in that life. That's not the case. You know, I was part of that life and I was as guilty as anybody else. I just happen to be blessed now. So when I talk about the life, I don't want to talk about the people in the life being bad and now I'm good. I will talk about the life itself being a evil life. And again, not the people, because I was one of them. I just happened to be very blessed, and maybe if some of them had the same opportunity that I had, they would follow the path that I took. But the life is evil, and the reason I say that is, number one, the honor and the respect, if for the most part, it's based upon fear. It's built on fear. It's not built on love. And the loyalty is built on fear in many parts. And any time something like that is built on fear, it's not real. And that's what I found that out to be. And so, yes, I was betrayed. Maybe if I were in that same situation, I might have betrayed somebody at the time. I don't know. But what it did, it showed me what the life is really all about. And again, I say it's an evil life for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't know any family of any member of that life that hasn't been totally devastated. And I mean any family, including my own, not my wife and kids, praise God, but my mother and my mother and brothers and sisters. We had a devastating life. They all suffered horribly as a result of my father's involvement in that life. So you see, it's a life that's built on all the wrong things. It's evil. And I came to know that, yes, when my father did betray me, there's no other way to put it. He did betray me. He put the life first, which is what we as members are supposed to do. We're called upon to do that. We take an oath to do that. And I think my father took it to an extreme. Not that he didn't love me. I believe he loved me. But I believe that the life was more important to him, and maybe even until today at 97 years old. But, you know, fortunately, God gave me the insight at some point in time to realize all of this. And as a result of that realization and the right people in my life leading me in the right direction, I was able to understand it. This is something that I should no longer be involved in. And that's what gave me the impetus to move out. There wasn't any other reason. You know, that's what said, you know what, this is something I really need to do.
Wow. Well, all I can say is I think you're just really a, quote, stand-up guy. You've taken responsibility for your own actions. You're not trying to point the finger or blame. Certainly, circumstances had a lot to do with being led into your life of crime. Your father was an underboss in the Colombo family. And as you say in your book, you have to respect the integrity and loyalty of your father, misplaced though it is. Those are qualities in society today that are missing, by and large, in corporate, in government. I have a question that's just a little out of the ordinary and perhaps off the subject. There is a reason they call it organized crime. You also have a book out that I would love to talk about in some future testimony called I'll Make You an Offer You Can't Refuse. Michael, if the current leadership we have in the White House were operating as a mob affiliate, would they make the grade in your view, or would they be, as the term goes, get whacked?
You know, you pick the subject with me, Tantina. Well, I could go on for I can do another five segments of that. I got to tell you this. You know, my new book, the one that I'm in the process of writing now, and I'm almost finished, is called A Mafia Democracy. And what I do in that book, unfortunately, and I'm not happy about this because, you know, I want our government to function right. I have seven children. I have two grandchildren now. I'm worried about the future of my children and grandchildren. And under this government, I'm scared for their future. And I want them to operate right. Even though I, you know, was against them at one point in time, that's gone. You know, I want them to operate right. And unfortunately, this government is acting with the morality of a mob. And the reason I say that, you know, the patron saint of mobsters, La Cosa Nostra, the mafia, is Machiavelli. It's almost required reading that you read The Prince. And I read that when I went to prison, because in that book, Machiavelli counsels he counsels a prince how to maintain control of his kingdom. And there's one basic principle that he has, and I'm going to relate it to you now, and then you'll see where I'm going with this government. Machiavelli says this. He said to the prince, you can do anything you need to do to maintain control of your kingdom. You can lie, you can steal, you can cheat, you can do anything. However, to the general public, you must always appear to be upright, honest, and having integrity. And if that doesn't call out what our government is like today, then I don't know what else is. They try to say all the right things publicly, but underneath it all, they're just hurting us. And they're being so hypocritical in the way they do it. And unfortunately, I'm very in tune with this now. Again, not for myself. You know, I'm 62 years old, and my life is, it is what it is, and I'm very happy where I am now. But I worry for my children, because we don't live in our grandfather's America anymore. There's changes here that are going very, very rapidly, and I don't see them going in a positive direction. So I hope that this next book is a call to arms to people, that they really realize, yeah, the mob mentality is not the way we should operate in our government. And they're going to see some very valid comparisons. And this is not a gimmicky book. This is a book that I think is going to make people say, wow. Because I've heard so many people tell me it's funny, you want to get on the humorous side of this. I have more Facebook comments and more people writing me telling me the government is the real mafia. I hear that every day. And, you know, unfortunately, the comparisons are very valid. And they may not even realize it, but they're operating in some ways the way we did. And that's sad. That's sad for the country. It's sad for the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Michael Franzese, author of Blood Covenant and the soon-to-be-released God the Father. We're going to hear more from Michael next week in our third segment as he tells us more of what his new life in Christ is all about and how he went from being a mob king to a son of the King of Kings. Michael, thank you for being with us on Testimony. We look forward to hearing more next week. God bless you.
I look forward to that, Jensen. Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenbard.com. That's one word, JensenBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. For the last 2 weeks, you've heard the incredible true story of a man they called New York City's most feared mafioso, a capo in the Colombo crime family, and son of infamous underboss Sonny Franzese. His book, Blood Covenant, chronicles the horrific details of a life gone wrong, but miraculously made right through the saving power of Jesus Christ. He would hear about this through a woman he now calls his wife, Camille Cammy Franzese. Their stories are the stuff that movies are made of, literally, and have been. Their just-released God the Father, opening in theaters today, documents the rise and fall of a Brooklyn kid who makes it big in one of America's most feared crime families, but then finds true hope and peace, ladies and gentlemen, in the family of God. Would you welcome back to Testimony for part three of my rare, exclusive, a wonderful honor indeed, author, speaker, filmmaker, and founder of Michael Franzese Ministries and his Breakout.net Foundation, former mob boss, Michael Franzese. Michael, welcome back to Testimony.
Well, it's good to be back for the third and final, at least at this stage.
Amen, and you're still alive to tell it. And I love that.
Still alive.
Well, I just loved your book. I can't reiterate that enough. I think every listener, if you haven't, get a copy of Michael Franzese's Blood Covenant. He quit the mob and survived. Well, first of all, Michael, I do want to thank you for making the time to share your incredible story for these last three segments. A testimony to me that is riveting and enlightening, yet extremely hopeful. And might I add, it's one for the kingdom instead of the courts. So,
I like that.
Isn't that great? One for the kingdom instead of the courts. And you were in and out of courts for a lot of your life. You beat the system, but there were times when you didn't beat it. And even as a Christian, you were thrown back in prison. But that's when the Lord took a hold of your life, I think, in a very meaningful way. Can you please begin to tell us more of that story?
Yes, and after I met my wife, you know, I accepted Christianity. I accepted Christ mainly because my mother-in-law and my wife said, you know, accept Christ and your sins will be forgiven. Well, everybody wants that. Hey, I want my sins forgiven. To me, it was almost like confession, just a different form. But what I didn't realize then, it's you know, your acceptance of Christ is really made whole in your surrender to Him, and I wasn't willing to do that. I couldn't process the surrender part of it. So I was living as a half-Christian, I would say. I don't know how genuine or sincere I really was. Cut to 1991, when I had done 5 years in prison. I was home 13 months, worst 13 months of my life, Jensine, because I had the government trying to make me a witness and put me in the witness protection program. I resisted that. I had people out trying to hurt me. There was a contract on my life. My father had disowned me. I was literally dodging bullets. My wife and I couldn't put a house in our name, no utilities, and I couldn't earn a living. It was a very difficult 13 months. I ended up violating my parole like a fool. I fell into the government's hands, violated my parole. They were upset with me because I refused to cooperate. And I'm back in prison. And they told me that, number one, they were going to indict me on another big racketeering case. They were violating my parole. And they told both myself and my wife individually that I would never be a free man again.
Wow.
They put me in a 6x8 cell that evening. And I was, you know, I was 39 years old. And it was that night that I experienced, for the first time in my life, hopelessness. And, you know, for a guy that's experienced every emotion from ecstasy to grief to everything else, that was by far the worst emotion you could ever feel. And not because I was afraid of the prison time. I had done my time. I did 5 years prior to that. I visited my dad my whole life. It was just the loss of everything that was dear to me to realize that this was it. It was final. I'm losing my wife. I'm losing my kids. I'm losing my freedom. Everything dear to me. It was the worst night of my life, the worst moments of my life. The prison guard pushed the Bible through the door. When I saw it, I picked it up and I threw it against the wall. It's just like everything came out of me. I was so angry. I was angry with God and everybody else and feeling sorry for myself. It took me about a minute. I picked the book back up, and I can't give you all the details. We don't have time that night. But it was during that time that I started to read about Jesus. And all I can tell you is this. I spent 29 months and seven days, in that hole, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, me and God. And during that time, I read my Bible inside out and upside. If you see my prison Bible, there's more of my notes on that than there is scripture. Because I was a street guy and so used to evidence and proving things to myself, I did a real search. I had my wife send me in every book that you can imagine on all different faiths. I really, really did a study to see if this time I was making the right choice in choosing my faith. And just, I came away with one conclusion. The Bible was God's word and that Jesus was my risen Savior. And that time in the hole, I believe that the Lord saved my life because He would have never got my attention had I been on the street. And my point is that sometimes in our greatest, deepest, most horrific struggles, that's when God reaches out to us because that's when we're ready to listen. And I always say He saved my life in that cell because had that not happened to me, I would have never went that way. I probably would have been dead or in prison for the rest of my life. But, you know, God had a plan. Unfortunately, I had to go through that. I don't recommend it for anybody. But whatever it takes to get God to get our attention, that's what we need in this life.
Amen, amen. Beautifully said and beautifully outlined in your book. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to former mob capo Michael Franzese of the Colombo family, his book, Blood Covenant, and his movie, God the Father, out in theaters today. Today is a significant day for you, Michael. In 1975, on October 31, Halloween Day, you made a blood covenant with the mob. How significant is that day to now this day as a born-again Christian with a movie coming out by the name of not the Godfather, but God the Father?
You know, it's very significant for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, I surrendered my life to an evil life on Halloween night 1975, and it really is, from human standards, it was a coincidence that this movie opened up on this date, because there's a lot of different variables that go into opening up a movie. And the reason we opened it up on Halloween is that was just the best date. We didn't have a lot of competition to go up against. It's kind of counter-programming to, I think, two horror movies that are coming out. It just turned out to be the best date. But then, when you look in the spiritual realm, it has such significance, because it was the day I surrendered my life to an evil life, and now God has allowed this story to come out where I, in turn, surrendered my life to Christ. And this movie, I want to tell you this, we honor God in a big way. We tell the story. I mean, it's a mob story, there's no doubt. But when God intervenes in my life, it comes through loud and clear. We didn't compromise. We didn't pull any punches. We didn't hold back, because I believe we have to be bold in our profession of faith today, and especially in our love for Jesus. And it's just maybe one of God's coincidences that he chose this day for this movie to be released. And we're excited about it. We don't know the significance other than the fact that we think God is in this and he'll take it where he wants it to go. And we're hoping that people see it, because I do think, number one, they'll be entertained, but number two, seeds will be planted, and I believe they'll be blessed.
Amen and amen. You know, Michael, one of the foundational scriptures for testimony is Revelation 12:11, which states, "We overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." That's exactly what you're doing. You are taking the blood of the Lamb on this day and giving your testimony a 180-degree turnaround from where you were years ago when you literally made a covenant with Satan. In making a covenant with the mob, an evil life of crime. Now, with Michael Franzese, your ministries, your books, your filmmaking, and you have a foundation called BreakingOut.net to help at-risk youth. Can you talk about that a little bit and what that means to you personally?
Well, you know, I have a real heart for young people. I mean, I have 7 kids of my own, and I have 2 grandchildren, 1 on the way. And, you know, when I served time in prison, there were so many young people coming into the system, you know, at hard time. I mean, 21, 22 years old with mandatory minimum drug sentences of 15 and 20 years. You know, today there's no parole. If you get 20, you're doing 17 and a half. If you come into the system at, you know, in your early 20s and you have a 20-year sentence, your life is just about over. Very, very difficult to rebuild once you come home. And they all have the same stories. Broken home, no father figure. The mom was either trying to do her best or not trying to do her best. You know, these kids hook up with the local gang banger, gang leader. They become a gang member, and before you know it, that's their family, and they're doing criminal stuff, and it lands them in prison or in a grave. Those are the two options 95% of the time. And when I listened to them, I just made a commitment. I said, you know what? I got to do what I can do to try to dissuade these kids from that kind of lifestyle. Because today, these kids have more negative influences at their fingertips, on their phones, everywhere they turn, than we ever had, certainly than I ever had as a kid growing up. And I grew up under some rough situations with my dad, but it wasn't as bad as it is today. And so, you know, my commitment is to tell these kids the truth. Fortunately, God gave me a platform where I tell them, listen, I broke away from the biggest gang in the world, so don't tell me you can't do it. With the Lord in your life and the right people around you, there is a way out. I make them see the evils of the life that they're involved in, how they're hurting themselves and anybody that happens to care about them. And you know what? It has an impact. I've been doing it, praise God, for a lot of years now, and I think we've implanted a good seed in a lot of these young people and led them in the right direction. And that's what this movie will do. Same thing. I look at this movie as an extension of my ministry. And naturally, you know, you're making a movie, people have to be entertained, and we make sure that we hold their interest and they see things because it's a true life story. And we think that it's going to, you know, play a role like my testimony has in turning people around and getting them to realize, you know, that the life is more about what they're involved in. If you're in a struggle in your life, there is a way out, and we direct them towards Jesus, because I don't know how you survive things and hard struggles without Jesus. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how people do it. As a matter of fact, I don't know if they do it.
I don't think they can. And God didn't create us to fail and to live in a fallen world. He created us to worship Him. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Michael Franzese. You can learn more about Michael, his movie, his books, by going to www.michaelfranzese.com. That's FranzeseE.com, and get his book, Blood Covenant, He Quit the Mob, and many other resources to help your youth, your family. I want to thank you for being with us on Testimony. God bless you. Much success for your film, God the Father. I plan to see it. Lord bless you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and we appreciate it, and you've been a blessing. I've enjoyed all three segments, and thank you very much, and God bless.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.